Evening, great to see everybody here today. If you have a Bible, please open to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 will be the text of our study this evening, right in the middle of a genealogy, everyone's favorites in the Bible. Genesis chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I'd like to join in welcoming everyone here. Thank you for being here, supporting the cause of the Lord, worshiping Him, joining together in fellowship, communion with other Christians. That builds me up. And I hope that that is building up everyone here. And if you're not being encouraged by what's happening here, maybe first look inside before you look out. Because what we are doing is just the most amazing thing we can do. That is that we can bring our hearts together as one. Knit together in such a way that they reach beyond the ceiling and up to the very throne of God. And He listens. And for that, we are truly thankful for His grace and for His mercy. I'd like to thank the elders for allowing me to speak. Robert asked me a week or two ago if I would be able to, and knowing that I was going to go back and to Westlake, I was unsure if I would be able to, but then it turns out that I was able to get back tonight, and so I'm thankful for the opportunity. Wish I could have been here this morning to hear Grady. I know you all heard better preaching than I did this morning, but tonight we're going to be working through a text in Genesis chapter 5 together that I hope will encourage all of us. If you have your Bible open to Genesis chapter 5, we're going to read verses 21 through 24. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This simple text actually breaks continuity with the rest of the genealogies in Genesis chapter 5. And we're probably familiar with Enoch simply because he is mentioned in the New Testament. In fact, if he hadn't been mentioned in the New Testament, we probably wouldn't give much consideration to this short little blurb in a genealogy about a man who walked with God and then suddenly disappeared because God took him. It would be interesting, but we might not spend a whole lot of time there. But whenever you start reading in the New Testament, you find Enoch mentioned in the genealogy in Luke chapter 3. You find him mentioned as one of the people who did something or received something by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, he is mentioned in Jude verses 14 and 15 as one who reproved ungodly people. And though you don't have all that information in Genesis chapter 5, when you start putting it together, you get a composite picture of a man who was a man of faith, who walked with God and was dedicated to God. And that's the kind of examples I think we need. As we're going through difficulties in our life, as we feel like the world is spiraling out of control, we need to see people who were able to make it, who were able to walk by faith in the midst of a perverse and depraved world. In fact, remember, Enoch is only a couple of generations removed from the flood. And so he probably was living in a world far worse than what we are living in, and yet he walked with God. He was a man who was totally committed to the Lord. And that's where I want us to start. I want us to get a kind of a survey view of Enoch's life and then kind of zero in on some of the important aspects of Enoch's faith. So as we think about this idea of walking with God, we see, first of all, that Enoch was dedicated. Enoch was dedicated. How do we know that? Well, there's at least three things that we find in these verses about Enoch throughout the Old and New Testament that show that this is a man who is consecrated to the Lord. This is a man who is committed to the Lord. In fact, his name is spelled in English as Enoch. If you were to spell it out maybe a little bit more in Hebrew, it'd be Hanok. And so you get that H sound at the beginning. And you might be thinking, well, why is he talking about Hebrew at this point? Well, it's because Hanok is related to a word that most of us are probably familiar with. In fact, it was a word that was used very often December 10th through the 18th of this year. And that is the word Hanukkah. And that Hanukkah, the Jewish festival, means the feast of dedication. And so Hanok is the adjective form of that, which means dedicated. Now, Enoch is a man who lived up to his name. He was dedicated to the Lord. In fact, this is a very fairly rare word in the Old Testament. It's used just about, I think, 5 times in the Old Testament, and it's often connected with consecration, setting something apart, being for a special use. In fact, it's interesting that the verb is used in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, the very last place in the Old Testament, where in the canonical Old Testament, as we have it, is that it's train up a child in the way he should go. That's consecrate a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it even in old age. And so this idea of dedication, commitment, is that he was placed on a path, and he walked that path. That's the next thing I want us to focus in on as we kind of overview Enoch's life, is that this is a man who is said to have walked with God. Now, this somewhat changes the genealogies, as it were, in that it often says this person lived this long, bore this child, and then lived this long, and then he died. And that's basically what most of the genealogies in Genesis chapter 5 are. And yet you have this small little change. Enoch walked with God. He is the first of at least 3 people in the Old Testament, 3 at least in Genesis, who are said to have walked with God. Enoch, Noah, Abraham. These are men who walked with God. He stands with giants, doesn't he? Men who walked by faith. And so Enoch is a man who was able to consecrate himself to the Lord because he made a decision to follow after the Lord, to walk with the Lord. Why does God use this illustration of walking to describe a lifestyle? Well, it's because it involves daily commitment, step-by-step commitment. You know, I think about the last person of faith that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, just the chapter before in Genesis, was Abel. He made the big sacrifices. He gave the best of his flock, and he died a martyr's death because of his faith in God. And yet Enoch was a man who, in the same vein of faith as Abel, shows us that daily walking with God, that daily devotion to God, it's not just the big sacrifices, it's the little day-to-day sacrifices as well. So this is a man who walked with God. And that also involves persistence. He didn't give up. The very first man to walk around the entire world was a man by the name of David Kunst from Waseca, Minnesota. And he walked around the world October 5th, finished in 1974. That was after 4.5 years of walking, about 15,000 miles, went through about 22 pairs of shoes, and interestingly enough, they had an auction at the end, and his right shoe was bought for $150, and his left shoe for $170, and the remaining mule for $140. And this man, what an amazing feat, no pun intended, amazing feat that he was able to walk around the world. But you know, we look at it from the big picture. Wow, 15,000 miles, 4.5 years. But you know what it was for David Kunst? Step, step, step. Every day, putting the next foot forward. Enoch was a man who walked with God. One step at a time, he walked with the Lord every step of the way. That is dedication. It's not just having a great finish, but it's also having a daily victories with God, as we walk with him by faith. We're going to come back to that idea in just a moment. But I suggest that the third thing that really demonstrates the dedication of Enoch is his end, his reward. And this is the one we're probably most familiar with, because that's what's drawn out in Hebrews chapter 11, is that this was a man who was taken up. In fact, the New English Translation renders this, he disappeared. And so, unlike these other men who died and were buried, Enoch was just taken by the Lord, taken out of this world, possibly to save him from the flood that was to come, but also just as a reward for his faithfulness. This is a man who had a strange exodus from the world, but something that we would all enjoy, to be taken directly to paradise with the Lord. He did not have to face that initial sting of death. He's one of only 2 men in the Bible, Jesus included in that, in that it was Enoch and Elijah are the only ones we know of who did not have to face death. And yet, that reward was because of his step-by-step faith that allowed him to step right into eternity. But I want to suggest from Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch's walking with God began the same way that our walk with God begins, and that is with a choice. Now, I'm not going to make too much of this because I don't want to speak where the Bible does not speak, but I think there are some implications, even in Genesis chapter 5, that Enoch was not always totally dedicated to the Lord. Here's why I think that. If you look back in Genesis chapter 5, you'll note that it says, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then he walked with the Lord for 300 years. And then he was not, for God took him. Now, I won't bore you with language stuff. I'm kind of a language nerd, and so I find this kind of thing interesting. You can turn off the circuit breaker for a minute if you want to. But there is a thing in Hebrew called the Wayechtol or the Vav consecutive, which is basically Hebrew storytelling, where you start off with this happened, and then you stick the little word and on there, and you convert the form of the verb, and it's and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. My English teacher would have hated that if I had a run-on sentence. Did this, and did this, and did this, but that's the way Hebrew stories work. Our English translations tend to knock out some of those ands so that it's better English form. But it's this happened, then this happened, then this happened. That often represents sequential action. Not always, but the majority of time in Hebrew narrative, it's sequential action. This happened, then this happened, then this happened. What does that mean for this text? It means that Enoch lived, that's the same as all the rest of the genealogy, he lived 65 years. Then he begat Methuselah. Then what did he do? Then he walked with God. Now, it could be, I'd be happy to be wrong, that Enoch was just a faithful man from the very beginning of his life. But it could be, based on the form of the Hebrew here, that for 65 years, Enoch really wasn't doing what he should have been doing. And then when his son came along, he made a decision. From now on, I'm going to walk with God. And it's not just a phrase that we might say, well, maybe that just means he lived for another 300 years. Because the other genealogies don't say that they walked with God for so many years after. And so Enoch made a decision to walk with God. There was a beginning point to his faith. And regardless of whether it was at 65 years old or not, don't we all start out as sinners and have to make a choice that I'm going to follow the Lord wherever he goes? So wherever point it was in Enoch's life, he made a decision. Now, I'm not the only one who would interpret it this way, or in some of the writings before the time of Jesus, not inspired, but Jewish tradition, in the Apocrypha, in Sirach 44:16, it says, Enoch pleased the Lord and was taken up an example of repentance to all generations. And so even the Jews around the time of Jesus, before the time of Jesus, looked at Enoch and said, this was a man who made a change. He turned and he began walking with the Lord. Here's what I want us to take from this. We, like Enoch, can repent. And our lives can be changed and we can get right with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That we who are sinners, who don't deserve anything by the grace of God, can begin to walk hand in hand with the Lord all the way to eternity. Now, let me just make a side point here. Isn't it the case that a lot of people, as soon as they have that first child, that's when they say, hey, I need to go back to church. Hey, I need to get right with the Lord because I need to know how to raise this child right. That may have been what happened for Enoch. But regardless, this is an example of someone who shifted his focus and began walking with the Lord. And he's not the only one. Look at those wonderful examples throughout the Old Testament. For instance, in 2 Chronicles 33, Manasseh, the worst of the worst of Judah's kings, who sent them on a line, a fate toward Babylon. When he was afflicted by the Lord, taken into captivity, he turned, he repented, and God forgave him. Or you think about Paul in the New Testament. Paul describes himself as a sadistic persecutor of Christians. He enjoyed watching them hurt because of what he thought they were. And he says, But God, by His grace, changed me. He started moving in the right direction. If you hold your Bible in Genesis 5 and look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, as Paul describes, gives his own personal testimony, but then applies it to all of us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. That's that word, kind of sadistic. Violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet, for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, as the worst, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example to those who believe in Him for eternal life. You know what Paul is saying there? He's saying that none of us can say, I am too bad for God to save me. Because he said, if God could save me, He could save anybody. And that's the reason Jesus came into this world. And though Enoch was looking through the limited revelation of Genesis 5, just the what had been naturally revealed and what God had spoken to the early patriarchs, Enoch made a choice to serve the Lord. And you know what? God said, that pleases me. How amazing that sinners can change and God can be pleased with them when His holy wrath would rightfully come down upon them and send them to hell. And yet by the grace of God, we can be followers of Jesus. Whether we're talking Enoch, who didn't even know Jesus fully, or whether we're talking Manasseh, who had come to know God, or Paul, who specifically fought against Christ, we can all change, and we can be right with the Lord. Enoch is an example, as I understand it, of repentance. He is a man who shifted his focus and began walking with the Lord every day. Well, what does that look like? What does it look like to walk with the Lord every single day of our lives? I want to suggest from Genesis chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 11, and Jude 14 and 15, that there are two major aspects of what walking with God looks like. When the rubber hits the road in everyday life, it, number one, looks like faith. Number two, looks like reproof. Now, this may not be where you would automatically go to when you think of walking with God, but this is how the writers of the Bible go. They say, number one, that walking with God means trusting God. Now, we don't necessarily see the word belief. We don't see the word faith in Genesis chapter 5. But we see a man who walked with God and pleased God. How does the writer of Hebrews interpret the life of Enoch? Well, if you have your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. The writer says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Let's go ahead and read verse 6, and we'll come back to it later in our study. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Notice here in verses 5 and 6, the writer of Hebrews looks at Enoch's life and says, what does this say about Enoch? It says he was a man of faith. He received his reward because of his belief in God, his trust in God. What did he believe about God? He believed, number one, that God exists. And number two, that God is a rewarder. We're going to come back to some of those themes in just a little bit. But I would suggest that believing that God exists is more than just saying, hey, there has to be a creator, but I don't know anything about him. In fact, that idea of he is, God is overlaid or underlaid, however you want to think of it, with the idea of covenant language. What is God's covenant name? I am who I am. And so Enoch recognized something about a covenant, a communion, a relationship with Almighty God. And because of that, he recognized that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Enoch, though we don't see all the details in Genesis 5, walking with God involved putting his trust completely in God. That's why he received the reward that he did, because he put his trust in God. And then you think about how Paul connects this idea of walking and faith. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Paul says, "Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him." So Paul says, we walk by faith. I think that's what Enoch was doing. When you connect Genesis 5 and Hebrews chapter 11, this is a man who walked by faith. Did Enoch ever see God? I don't know. The text doesn't tell us. But we do know he walked with him. He put his trust in God. For Paul, what did that mean? Walking by faith, it meant, number one, enduring ill treatment for the cause of Christ. It also meant trusting that God will bring us to our eternal home. Isn't that what Enoch received? And number three, it involved living a sanctified life. Just read 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 sometime and notice that kind of trifold theme of walking with God. It means you might have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But you know that there's a mountaintop at the end, the temple of God, the home of God. And that the only way we're going to see God is if we pursue sanctification. Put this in the lifetime of Enoch. Enoch was a man who no doubt suffered persecution, because there was a world that was against him. And yet he continued to trust in God and live a sanctified life. And God said, "I am pleased with you." Remember, as a precursor to Noah, who also walked with God and preached righteousness, Enoch was a man who trusted God. And when we put our faith in God, what's going to happen? We will suffer persecution. No doubt Enoch had the same. And you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the body. Enoch was a man who learned to say no to what he wanted and to put his trust completely in God. Now, that has consequences both vertically and horizontally. But I am sure Enoch never regrets the vertical relationship he built with God, even in the midst of a world that was against him. He trusted God. And he trusted God as the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that brings us to the second point. Already alluded to it in the previous point, but walking with God means reproving ungodliness. Walking with God means reproving ungodliness. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm sure we would all just jump up and down and say yes if I said, "Do you like rebuke?" No. No, we don't like rebuke. We don't like giving it. We don't like receiving it. And yet, part of walking with God means we need to love what God loves and we need to hate what God hates. And if we love other people, we're going to tell them what God loves and what God hates. And people aren't going to like that. People aren't going to receive it. Enoch was a man who reproved ungodliness, irreverence for God. Look with me in Jude. Jude 14 and 15. Jude is working off of an ancient tradition that is... now gives us inspired testimony about what happened in the days of Enoch. We don't read about it in Genesis 5 or anywhere else in the Old Testament. But in Jude 14 and 15, I want you to, as you listen to this and read this in your Bible, see if you can count how many times you see something related to the word ungodly in this text. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they had done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." You think Jude wants us to think about that word ungodly? I think so. Emphatic repetition. Because what he is saying is Enoch was living in a world of irreverence, and that world continues on into Jude's present. That's why he can say Enoch was prophesying about these very men, these false teachers, and about all the people around him at his time as well. That ungodliness, irreverence for God, must be condemned. And so Enoch, he spoke a message somewhat like Jonah, except no doubt with a better attitude since he pleased God, that yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That's all we know that Jonah said. All we know that Enoch said is, hey, judgment's coming upon all the ungodly people. That's you, Enoch says. And yet, that was not unloving of Enoch. That was the most loving thing he could do in view of his relationship with God and in view of the broken relationships with God that he saw all around him. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's not think that we can get out of this and say, well, I'll just have my daily walk with God and it'll be fairly personal and I don't need to say anything about anybody else. In fact, maybe it might be unloving. It might turn them away if I start talking about their ungodliness. I don't normally call names, but he said it publicly, so I think I have the right to do so. It's kind of like Joel Osteen, who said, my ministry is not to talk about sin. Well, that's not a ministry. We are called to reprove ungodliness. Granted, to do so with love and with charity and with mercy. But we have got to call out ungodliness. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11. He says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. What's he saying? He's saying the way we live, notice that this is in the context where he says, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, know the kind of world you're living in, the days are evil. So what are you supposed to do? Just kind of hole up with only Christians and kind of get into a monastery type setting and just enjoy the holiness you have? Or does he say, get out into the world and let people know about God's standards and what he expects? You see, if we let people continue in darkness and go all the way, walk in darkness all the way to eternal darkness, then we have not been loving people. I know Ephesians chapter 4 is in a context of how we interact with one another in the church. It says we need to speak the truth in love. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 says we need to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. You see, walking with God means that as we are in step with the Lord, that we are also noting those who are out of step with the Lord. And we're telling them, you don't have to remain in that. You don't have to remain in guilt and in sin and in destructive lifestyles. You can come back to the Lord. You know, I've heard some preachers say, did you ever notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that there's two more kind of exhorting and reproving types? There's a little bit more than just the kind of the positive things. Well, I'd also tie us back to what it says the Scripture is meant to do for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, that doesn't leave you there, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, the Bible tells us there is a path to follow. It is the way of Jesus. It is the path of righteousness and godliness. It says we've all gotten off that path. But for those of us who have begun, have changed, have repented, have gotten in step with the Spirit of God by following after His Word, then we're saying, look what God's Word can do for you. It can change you. It can correct you. You don't have to live in sin anymore, in guilt. You can be forgiven by the gracious blood of Jesus Christ. The path you are walking, the path of the majority, is leading to eternal destruction. If you walk this path with the Lord, day by day, until eternity, you will step right into eternity. How do we build that personal walk? How do we build our trust? How do we build our courage to speak to those who are walking in ungodly ways? Well, there's a book that came out years ago called Everything I Need to Learn, I Learned in Kindergarten, or something along those lines. And I heard a preacher preach one time that everything I need to learn, I learned in Sunday Bible school, Sunday Bible classes. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, because the very next point I want to make is that how do you build your daily commitment to the Lord, to trust Him more? and to be courageous to expose ungodliness and bring people into the fold? Read your Bible and pray every day. Grow, grow, grow. People say, well, that's just a non-answer. That's what everybody says. It doesn't help me. Read your Bible and pray every day. And grow, grow, grow. Learn who God is. Pray to Him. Let Him know your faults, your doubts, your concerns. Let Him know that you have some, you're concerned about talking to this person. I believe God, through His Word and through our prayers, will embolden us to face any difficulty in this life and to walk by faith. I know it did for Paul. And he could say, I am ready to go be with the Lord. That is so much better. So that brings us to the end of Enoch's life, in which walking with God means that we get to step right into eternity with the Lord. We get to step right into eternity with the Lord. You ever thought about that? As we're living this life, and we're, in a metaphorical way, we are stepping, stepping, stepping. And then when we take that last breath, relief. Because now we have stepped into the arms of our Savior. And we get to be with God forever. I don't know exactly what Enoch experienced. All I know is what Genesis chapter 5 says and Hebrews chapter 11 says, is that this was a man who walked with God and God was pleased with him and God took him. Disappeared. Gone. And yet what I have to believe based on what I know about the post-death experience from the rest of Scripture is that he walked right into paradise with his Lord. Jesus would tell the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Paul would say, to depart and be with Christ. To walk into eternity. How's that going to happen? I don't even know exactly how ours is going to happen. All I know is that those who are dead when Jesus comes again are going to be raised. And then those of us that are still here are going to be changed. And we're all going to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to get to be with the Lord always. I don't know exactly how that change is going to happen. And John tells us specifically, we don't know what we're going to look like. It's not going to be necessarily the physical resurrection body of Jesus, because it says we'll see Him as He really is. So there had to be a change happen. What that spiritual incorruptible body is going to be like, what it's going to be like to walk with the Lord for all eternity, I don't know what that's going to be like. But here's what the writer of Hebrews wants us to comprehend, is that even if we don't know how or what actually happened with Enoch, we do know why. By faith, he was taken up. See, I think that's going to be the same for us. By faith, we will be taken up. And so if we put our trust fully in the Lord, he will see us through to the end, and we will receive the greatest of rewards possible. Remember that Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know exactly what the reward is going to look like. I think it's going to be beyond what we can even imagine. But I do know that if we put our trust in God now and walk with him by faith, we will see him as he is. Faith will be realized. And we will look at our Lord face to face. Enoch shows us why it is so vital that we walk with God. It's because there's something even better. There's something better now than walking in a lifestyle of darkness and sin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we confess our sins and we turn from them, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Enoch shows us an example of how to traverse the course of life hand in hand with the Lord. And though we have little information about him in the Bible, we have a big lesson. Daily communion. Daily walking. Enoch is an example of repentance, because repentance is the first step toward God. And so we need to make sure we turn to him, even today if we have not done so already. We need to walk with him by trusting him and reproving ungodliness. And so we need to choose faith, even if that puts us in the minority. And we need to realize that paradise awaits the faithful. So we need to seek God daily so that we can walk with him forever. The questions come to us. Are we communing with God every single day, trusting and hoping in him? Are we helping others, being of service to them, and especially by teaching them the nature of God and his plan for their life and what they need to do? Is there anything stifling our walk with God? Are we purposefully throwing some stumbling blocks before us, or at least not stepping over them or stepping away from them? How can we draw closer to him today? It starts right here. That we say, we know what God has done, and how can we not love him with all of our heart and walk with him every single day? And even if that means walking through the valley of doubt and darkness and death, we still have a shepherd with a rod and a staff who touch us and show us that if you continue to trust me, there is pasture lands awaiting, and there is an eternal home on the other side. Would you pray with me? Sovereign Lord, gracious God, we are so thankful for the opportunity we have to walk with you. Father, we do not deserve to be your followers, but you, by your grace, have opened your arms to us, and you want us to walk with you. Father, we know that what you expect of us is for our good, and it's by your mercy that we have this opportunity. Father, it is not always easy, and we know that you know that because of what your Son has endured as he walked this world. But Father, help us to walk in his steps, to be his followers, to trust you, to help others, and to make sure that we are always looking forward to that eternal home. Father, thank you for the example of Enoch. May we be dedicated as he was dedicated. And may we learn to be faithful as he was faithful. Father, we look forward to the day when Jesus comes again and will take us to be with you forever. Father, please set that hope before us always. That even if we are experiencing difficulty, we know that you intercede for us, you intervene for us, and that you help us each step of the way. Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, and may we always look to you in your face, knowing that you are at the finish line. We look forward to experiencing your embrace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. You can begin your walk with God, just as Enoch made a choice that he was going to walk with God for the next 300 years of his life. So also we can make a commitment from this day forward. I am going to be committed to the Lord. Does that mean we will never again sin? No. As Christians, walking in the light means that we acknowledge our sins and we confess those. It may be that there is someone here who has never begun walking with the Lord. I would encourage you, don't put it off any longer. Because your next step could be into eternity. Is it going to be with the Lord, or is it going to be apart from his presence? Repentance, faith, absolutely necessary. And you can begin that life by being buried with Christ in baptism so that you can be raised to walk in newness of life. If you need to do that tonight, why don't you let us know as we stand.